So I'm just going to slide these notes down here. I'll put them back up afterwards. Can I just say it's a great opportunity to come along tonight to share a message at the youth service tonight. Can I just say particularly a big thank you to the young people themselves for having me along to speak at your service tonight, because this is a youth service after all, and it's great to see so many people who have come out to share and to support youth within it. I don't know about youth tonight, but for everybody who's taken part and for all the young ones that are here tonight, they've done tremendously well. It's great to see young people coming up to the front and sharing and just taking part within the service. And maybe at this point in the service, we'll maybe put our hands together just to show our encouragement to the young people tonight who've been taking part. Do you know, believe it or not, when I was your age, I'm only 27, but when I was your age, I took part in similar things tonight that youth are taking part in at youth services. I would have went along to youth fellowship as well, or freedom fellowship now is the new trendy word for it. And at your age, I'd have been going along week in, week out, taking part, being involved, being maybe the person who had volunteered to read or somebody who had volunteered to come up to the front and to share a scripture verse. But the reality was for me at that stage, I went along to all those things, but I didn't really have, and I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. Because I went along and heard about Jesus and knew all about God, but I didn't truly know him in here, as Ross talked about tonight. Having a personal relationship with Jesus, knowing our sins forgiven, and walking with him and being a disciple of Jesus. And I want to just say tonight that, you know, so often we can go along to organizations, we can come into church, and this applies to older ones as well. We can kind of come along, and it's very easy just to think, well, they come to church, or if you're younger, you come along to youth fellowship, well, they must be a Christian. They're here, they come along, they attend most weeks. But you know, sometime like me, when I was your age, I wasn't a Christian. I might have did all the Christian things, but really I didn't have that personal relationship with Jesus. I want to ask you tonight, young people and older members here tonight as well, do you know about Jesus, or do you truly know him and have a personal relationship with him? If you met with Jesus tonight at the cross and have a relationship with him, because for me, I could sum up my testimony that for a long time, I was a fan of Jesus. And it wasn't until I was the age of 16 that was the time when I'd made the decision or the commitment to become a follower of Jesus. So tonight, young people, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? And I would encourage you tonight to ask the Lord Jesus into your life. There should be something up on the screen that should pop up here very quickly. Richard said tonight, he goes, take the same amount of time it takes you to play a football match on a Saturday. So if everybody's aware of how long that is, you're stuck with me for the next 90 minutes here, and then injury time after that as well. So tonight, and it'll not take me that length of time, you'll be glad to know, I want to just bring a short message to you this evening, and hopefully it's one tonight that's applicable for both young and for older members of the congregation. The verses, and one in particular was read out earlier. It's the key verse. The key verse tonight is going to be Colossians 3, verse 17. And just to remind you just what that is again, it says, and whatever you do, in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay, Colossians 3, verse 17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay, tonight I want to touch upon two things this evening very briefly in our time together. The Bible tells us very clearly in Psalm 139, it says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, it's there in black and white for us to read. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. It goes on to tell us that we were knit and woven together. Not made by any accident, but crafted by God. Alongside this as well, and this is where we're going to look at closely tonight, we've been wired in a particular way, and we have been gifted. And God has placed these passions in our heart. Okay, a passion in each of our hearts here tonight that is maybe very different to the person who's sitting to your right or to your left. Because God has plans for us tonight and purposes already in place for us to walk in. We've been created with creativity, with skill, with interest, and passion. Do you want to encourage you tonight, if you could see here tonight, the plans and the purposes that God has for you as an individual we wouldn't be jealous again. If you could see the plans and the purposes that the Lord has in store for you, we wouldn't be jealous again of that person, our next door neighbor, that person in work, that other person in church. Because God has great plans and purposes for each and every one of us. For us as young people tonight, there's a great verse in the Bible that says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set the example to believers. What a mission for us as young people tonight, to set the example for the older ones. Isn't that amazing to think that that's a mission that God has called us to? As young Christians, to set the example for the older people. But you know, tonight I want to ask you, what is, as Colossians 3 and 17 talks about whatever, what is the whatever in your life for you right now? Okay, what's the whatever, the thing you're passionate about, the skill, the gift that God has given you, where God has called you right here and now? Want to just to take a few moments and think, well, what's that whatever for me? Okay, I want to maybe just prompt you with a few things that could be. Maybe this evening you're here tonight and you're a hairdresser. Maybe you're a doctor, a teacher. You're involved in construction. You're an admin worker. You're maybe a stay-at-home mom. You're in a sports team. You work with children. You own your own business. You work in a business. You're a tradesman. You're a student. Or you're at school and you're a classmate. What is it tonight that is your whatever? Because Colossians 3 and 17 says that you can use that in a way that glorifies and honors God. It can be done as a form of a witness before God in your whatever, whatever environment that is, wherever you find yourself at tomorrow morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, at the weekend, whether that's within a sports team or whether it's within a specific place. The Bible says that you're not there by accident. And Jesus says, there before you, you have an opportunity to reach people in my name. So tonight the question is, well, how can we do our whatever in a way that glorifies God? We're a Christian here tonight because we need to know where we stand before Christ. Because we need to have a personal relationship with him if we want to use our whatever, if we want to use that passion, that thing that we're really interested in, that really fires us up, that we're gifted for, to use that for God's glory and for his honor, it firstly means that you are in a personal, living, walking relationship with Jesus, that you are a disciple, daily carrying out the Great Commission. So we need to ask ourselves the question first and foremost tonight, as we did at the start, do we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in order to glorify and honor him with the gifts and the passions that he has given us? I want to give you two things tonight on how we can do that, so how we can practically live out and use the gifts and ability that God has given us, where he has placed us at, or whatever, if you want to give it that name, two ways in which we can do that that honors God, okay, that shows Colossians 3 and 17 in shoe leather as we walk out on a daily basis. Here's the first one tonight. I wanted to encourage you tonight, in your whatever that might be for you, do it with a passion. I think some of the best advice that I've been given, or that perhaps that we could be given, is in anything you do, don't do it half-hearted. Okay, don't do it half-hearted. Don't just do it for the sake and think, well, I'll just do it, see how it goes. I'm not really all that interested, and well, we'll see. And really, we don't make any preparations, and we're not organized to do it. It's important that as Christians, that we don't do things half-hearted. We should be doing it with a whole heart. We should be a cheerful giver, as the Bible talks about. We shouldn't do things with a poor attitude, because when we do that, it doesn't reflect the character of God in itself. The Bible talks about doing things well. It talks about not being lazy. Proverbs warns against laziness. Do you know, when we think about Jesus and his mission on earth, do you know, for the earlier stages, Mark 6 and 3 tells us that Jesus was a carpenter. His earthly father, Joseph, was a carpenter. And Mark 6 and 3 says that the people who were talking about Jesus at that time says, isn't he the carpenter, the son of Mary? Do you know, we always look to Jesus to be our example. We always look to Jesus to be the one that we follow after. And I could imagine Jesus in those times when he was a carpenter, that he did things well. He was skillful in his trade. He worked hard at it. He listened. He was willing to learn and wanted to apply. the wisdom that was given to him. And that he carried out anything that he did well and with a good attitude. But you know, when we talk about passion, that the word passion, and it's often quoted a lot today in the news, within sport, within lots of different areas. But what is passion? Okay, what is passion? Well, here's one definition. It says, passion is a degree of difficulty that we are willing to endure to accomplish the goal. Okay, passion is a degree of difficulty we are willing to endure to accomplish the goal. I want to give you an example tonight of a person who showed great passion for their passion. And her name is Bethany Hamilton. I don't know tonight if any young person has came across who this is. She was a surfer, a Christian surfer. In October 2003, at age 13, whilst out in the water, Bethany was attacked by a shark. And the shark, it came out of nowhere, and the shark was described and later found, and it was 14 foot in length. It attacked Bethany and severed her left arm off just here. At that time, as she arrived to the hospital, it was said that she had lost 60% of the blood in her body. But you know, Bethany showed great passion, whereby a month later she returned to the water. And not only did she return to the water having lost her arm and having also suffered a shark attack, but she had to learn all over again how to do that thing that she loved. She had to learn again all the skills and how to surf with one arm. You know, Bethany had a great faith in God, and she trusted throughout this situation, this difficult time, she trusted God and believed in him to give her the strength. And even that through this event, that God would use it to bring much glory and honor to his name. She went on to star in a number of programs, one called Soul Surfer, which is a film about her life and about her witness before God. But an example that we have of passion. Do you know, it's important that we do whatever we do with and to a standard of excellence, that we do it well and we'd be known for doing it well. For young people tonight, when it comes to exam time, it would be working hard, it would be studying well for your exams, it would be doing your homework well, which would be a witness to your teacher in itself. It's important as well that we be a faithful presence in our environment, wherever we find ourselves at Monday through to Friday. Because that in itself is a vital testimony to those people and our colleagues and our friends and the staff around us. You know, a story was once told of a cobbler who approached Martin Luther. And he asked him, how can I glorify God? And this man had just recently been converted. He just recently became a Christian. And Luther's words to him were, not that the man should join a ministry, but his words to him was, make a very, very good shoe and sell it at a fair price. So what Martin Luther was saying to him was, that thing that you do, that whatever, this man was a cobbler, he says, make a really, really good shoe, do it well, do it to a really good standard, and sell it at a fair price. Something that's an extremely good witness in itself to those people around him at that time. So tonight we've talked about passion and keeping an eye on the clock. The second one, and the last one actually, is called purpose. It's up on the screen. Another man called A.W. Tozer has said something once very profound. He said, it's not just about what you do, but it's about why you do it. Okay? It's not just about what you do, given that it would be a good thing and an honorable thing, but it's about why you do it. And I want to ask you the same question here tonight, because that drills us down into the purpose of our whatever, the purpose behind it. So the fantastic thing is, and as Ross has testified to tonight, he's talked about how God has saved him and given his life a new direction, invited him on a journey where he had purpose in his life and opportunity. And that's the amazing thing when we come to know Christ as our Savior, that he fills our life with purpose. The purpose is not just on a Sunday although Sunday's a very important part of our week, but that purpose is filled into our life Monday through Saturday in whatever we do. Because in our whatever, God calls us to a higher purpose. It's not just about going to work, doing our job, making money, clocking in each day, building your own reputation. But God calls us as Christians to a higher purpose within our whatever. He calls us to a purpose that we would do whatever we do for His glory, His name, and His fame. That's the purpose that God has called us to honor Him. If we're a disciple of Jesus and we're doing our whatever on a daily basis, God tells us, do it for my glory, because that's the most important thing. That's the purpose behind it. It's what lasts into eternity. Yes, we make money at what we do. We pay bills, but really something that lasts right through to eternity and affects eternity is doing it for Jesus' name and giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Christians in Sport, their logo this year is pray, play, and say. Pray for opportunities. Pray for teammates. Okay, maybe for some of the young ones tonight that are involved in sport at school, you're maybe involved in sport in a team in the community. It says pray for them that they might come to know Jesus. Play is the second part. Go out and play well and be the best you can be. And the third one is say. It's to ask God for opportunities to share our faith with the people around us. You see, God wants to reach all people. And He wants us, as His children, to be part of this mission. And God has called us to such a time as this to reach those people around us. And yes, we know we cannot do it in ourselves, but together, as disciples of Jesus, we can reach further, we can reach deeper and wider into a lost world, into lost lives, to make known the love of God and to reflect Christ in a practical way. Louis Giglio says that we need to infiltrate culture. So we need to go into culture, we need to go into our world if we want to influence culture. So we need to go into it before we can have that influence with those people around us. He goes on to say, love Jesus and pursue your passion with excellence. You will create relationships, conversations, and a platform of influence that will allow you most naturally to share Jesus with your world. Bubba Watson, a well-known golfer, I don't know if there's anybody tonight who's into golf, he said, golf is just an avenue for Jesus to use me to reach as many people as I can. It's a very well-known golfer who's played at the top of the game, who's played in the Ryder Cup for USA, who's been high up the golf rankings, a Christian, Bubba Watson, and he says that for him, his whatever, his passion, it was an avenue for Jesus to use to reach as many people as he could. But here's the thing tonight. When we pursue our passion and calling with the purpose of Colossians 3 and 17, when we do it in the name of Jesus with humble gratitude, it presents us with the most natural way of living out the Great Commission. In Matthew 28 and 19, where Jesus, his last words were to go out into the world and make disciples. And what an opportunity we have before us on a daily basis in quite a natural manner to go about and do that through connecting with people that we will meet in our workplace, people we'll meet in our class, our classmates, other students in the campus, wherever that might be for you, gives us such an opportunity to go out and to live out the Great Commission before those who are lost and who need to know Jesus. And just bringing this to a close here tonight, we've talked about passion, we've talked about purpose. But you know, here's the thing we need to be very careful of, because when we're passionate about something, sometimes we invest so much into it, we invest our time, our energy, blood, sweat, and tears. We invest so much, and it's very, very easy to get carried away because we're passionate about something, because our emotions are caught up in it as well. And very quickly, it's easy to be passionate about something and to kind of forget and push to the side the purpose behind it. It's very easy to be passionate about something and begin to forget who gave you that, who gifted you with that. It's very easy to forget that God is far more better than the gift itself. So we need to be very careful tonight that we stay firm and committed to the purpose behind what we do. That the purpose would be for God's glory and for His honor and not our own. Not for our name, not to build our own reputation, but to make known the name of Jesus. And you know, the best way to do that is sometimes we can think, haven't we done well? Aren't we very good? Aren't we very special? Look how much we have done, and look how much money we have made. Look at all the things that we have done. But you know, we need to bring ourselves back every time and tell ourselves that it is God that gives us the very breath in our body. It's God that gives us the next breath that allows us to sit upright. And if God gives us the very breath in order for us to live, well, then we shouldn't take the glory and look to take the glory from Him for what He has blessed us and given us. It's very important that we don't elevate the gift above the giver. It's very important that we realize that it's not the gift, it's not the passion that brings us joy and brings us satisfaction, but it is the giver of the gift. It is God Himself. I want to encourage young people tonight that in this life so often we can spend so many years running after different things. We can look for fulfillment and purpose within lots of different things. But do you know, the only thing that can provide that purpose, that satisfaction, is God Himself. We're also going to talk tonight about peer pressure. You'll be told that there's so many other things that are better, and don't worry about Jesus, and don't worry about going to church, and don't worry about living a committed life to Him, but try this. Let's go here. Let's experience this. But really, at the end of the day, it's all empty. It's all empty. But Jesus brings most satisfaction, fulfillment in our life. He is the only one that can offer us new life and life eternal. So tonight I want to encourage you as we step forward that our mission statement and our aim would be to love God supremely, to love God above all things. And how can we do that? What helps us young people to do that, to love God? Because sometimes it can be hard, it can be difficult, but what helps us? Here's two very brief things tonight. It's to stay connected to your community of faith. So basically, come to church, be part of Freedom Fellowship, all these organizations that would try to steer us in the right direction and to help us live for God and to help us love Him. Because when we come to church and organizations such as Freedom Fellowship, it kind of just renews our vision of Jesus. It kind of just brings us back down to earth again. It gives us a renewed focus upon what matters most in this life, namely living for Jesus and honoring Him. Do you know, as we're here tonight of all different age groups, and time comes where we move on through different transition periods in life, where we move on from primary school to secondary school, then from secondary school to tech or to university. And you know, during those times, and maybe that's the stage you're at here tonight, and it's very easy when we move away that we would become disconnected from God. Yes, maybe a Christian, but suddenly disconnected from Christian friends and from Christian union and from our daily place of worship. It's so, so important that, you know, if we want to live this life with a passion and a purpose for God, we want to love God supremely, that we would do that in connection with a body of believers. And that we would do that on a journey with other Christians to help us, to encourage us, to love God above all things. So I just want to finish tonight by again just how I started to say tonight, if you do not know Jesus, I pray tonight that as we look at the stage tonight, we see the cross. And I pray tonight that if you haven't met with Jesus at the cross, because that's where we meet with Him, at the cross where He died for us. And yes, He was buried and He was resurrected. He rose again. But I wonder tonight if you met Jesus here. Have you a personal relationship with him? Have you known something of the experience of the great exchange where God takes our sin and he gives on to us his righteousness? So I pray tonight that if you haven't done that, there's many people here tonight to speak to, and you would make the opportunity to do that, regardless of what age or what stage we're at in life, that there's always an opportunity to meet with Jesus at the cross and to know our sins forgiven, that we could go out and we could live a life with a passion and a purpose to reach those around us and to reflect Jesus and shine our light before others in this world. Just going to pray and hand back again. Father, we thank you tonight for your presence with us. Father, we thank you for everyone who has taken part tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that we would be honest with ourselves. And Lord, that tonight we would be more so honest with you. I pray tonight, Lord, for the young people that are here, Father. Lord, we pray for them over their life, Lord, your plans, your purposes for them, and all that they have to do. Lord, I just pray that you guide them and help them and lead them. Decisions that have to be made, Father. But we know tonight that the biggest decision that has to be made is, have we decided to follow Jesus? So I pray tonight, Lord, that that would be the decision that we make here tonight. And I pray tonight that regardless of what has happened in our life, that we would make the decision to follow Jesus, that we would meet with Jesus at the cross and know our sins forgiven and know life everlasting. This we pray in your wonderful name. Amen.